This is Brett Musburger, and you are listening live to Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio with my main man, Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive Guest Line. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Visit Progressive.com. Nate Davis joins us USA Today. Talk NFL. Thursday night's game went Buffalo's way, 24-18, as they go to 5-3. How are you, Nate?
Hey, how are you?
Good. Did the Bills look like the Bills last night? I know it got close at the end, but did you think that the Bills looked like what we thought the Bills should look like in that game last night?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it feels better if they win 24-10 as opposed to 24-18. And obviously, you know, got a little fortunate on that last play there with the yank on Chris Godwin. But, I mean, they got the win. And, you know, they're back home. They're the best team in their own building since 2020, and they've got 3 out of 4 there right now, including last night. So I think they've got a chance to, you know, kind of get right here. You know, it's good Josh Allen's got the extra time to, you know, get some rehab on his shoulder for whatever's going on up there. But, you know, you take the win, you move on, and I still think that they're a dangerous team. Kind of wonder, though, I do think that they're one that they could probably benefit from making some kind of move here at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I was going to ask that about the defense. I know they've got some team, you know, players that were out last, and even though it didn't really affect them last night, it is going to affect them as their schedule gets harder. Plus, Josh Allen, what did you make of him and his injury that it seems to pop up? I feel like he's always going into a tent.
Yeah, but I mean, he hasn't. I remember going to the tent 2 weeks ago against the Giants, and Kyle Allen actually played, I think, a drive. Didn't come to that last night. But, you know, obviously something's going on there, and he banged the shoulder the play before. He had the touchdown run, I think, in the second quarter. So yeah, there's something going on there, and he admitted last night he's going to be spending time with the trainers here over the next, you know, over the mini bye period they have coming up. So, and you know, we haven't seen him uncorking too many downfield shots. So we'll see if this is kind of a, you know, something he's fighting through, or if it's going to have a lasting impact. But it is a bit worrisome. And like you said, I mean, it'd be nice to, you know, they're still kind of, I think, working through the absence of Matt Milano. That's really been the biggest injury I think they've suffered to this point. You kind of wonder if they'd look at a guy like they saw across the field last night, like Devin White, who's a good athlete that maybe could sort of fill that role. You're not going to replace Matt Milano, but it just feels like they're missing some parts here.
As we reach close to the halfway point heading into week 8 this weekend, can you give me your thoughts on the AFC North? You know, you've got Baltimore playing very well. The Steelers can't score, but they're 4-2. The Browns and Deshaun Watson, is he playing? Is he not playing? They don't seem to really have a concrete answer to this stuff. And then there's Cincinnati. It looks like Burrow's healthy. Can you sort out the way you see this division playing out in the next 9 weeks?
No, not really. I mean, it seems like you could slot these teams 1-4 any way you want and probably make a case that's how it'll wind up. I will say, like, after last week, I thought that was kind of the first time maybe the Ravens feel like maybe they're going to separate themselves a little bit. I mean, I think that's kind of the offense they showed against Detroit that we want to see out of them. And then, you know, defense, I think, is ranked. I think they're giving up the fewest points in the league per game right now. So you're kind of getting your standard quality Ravens defense from them. But if they're able to, you know, do that on offense. And another team that I wouldn't mind seeing getting, you know, maybe one more back in there with some of the guys that might be available, and maybe somebody to catch the passes out of the backfield, which isn't something that Lamar Jackson has really had in his career. But it really was encouraging to kind of see him actually extend a play to pass last week and it working out. So I think, even though I like really the whole division, they've all got flaws, but I feel like maybe the Ravens are emerging as the one that's going to be the team to beat.
Let's go to the NFC, and the Minnesota Vikings have won 3 of their last 4. They beat San Francisco. Is that a something, or is it just, hey, you know what, you're catching a groove?
I'm sorry, I missed it one more time.
Is that a something that they've won 3 of 4? A lot of teams do this, but is it more, all right, a little bit more eye-opening, let's pay more attention to Minnesota, or is it just, hey, you know what, you do what some teams do every now and then?
Yeah, it feels like they're just kind of in this weird thing where they won all these, you know, what was it, like 11 one-score games last year, which was a record. And then they lost, you know, four this year that were one-score games. So, I mean, I think that they're basically, you know, kind of a 8 or 9 win team that's just kind of doing some weird statistical math thing. But, you know, the interesting thing about them is 2 weeks ago, you looked at them as a team that was probably going to be a seller at the trade deadline. You may, maybe that they would kind of reshape the league if they moved to Danielle Hunter somewhere else. And now, you know, maybe they don't do that. I mean, they could be 4-4 by the end of the weekend if they win at Green Bay. That being said, I still feel like everything they've done is kind of telegraphed that they're looking towards the future, you know, getting rid of Kendricks and Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen. So, I mean, I think the Vikings are probably have enough talent to be a wild card team, but I'm not sure that they're going to be any more dangerous in the playoffs than they were last year. And then, you know, they have a decision to make on Kirk Cousins after the season. So they're really in a weird spot.
Where do you see is there a player in the that is being focused on at the trade deadline that's catching your attention?
Well, I mean, there's several. I mean, I kind of wrote about 23 in the 23 you know trade deadline period here earlier this week. It just kind of, you know, again, I think part of the issue is like you said, we're almost at the halfway point. But I mean, as we sit here right now, 24 of the league's teams are either in a playoff spot or one game out of one. So, I mean, I don't know. There's not a whole lot of teams that are, I think, are in an obvious sell mode. Maybe this weekend kind of informs those decisions a little bit more. But, you know, teams love pass rushers. And I think that maybe that's kind of where you look at an interesting market with guys like you know, Brian Burns in Carolina, Chase Young, Montez Sweat in Washington. I mean, those are the kind of guys that you can bring in and they can immediately help you. And I don't think there's a huge, you know, learning curve for coming in and at least being a situational pass rusher right away while you learn a defense. So I'd say keep an eye on them. And also, I mean, I've been watching the Tennessee Titans basically since the offseason. I mean, they've just got so many guys, Tannehill, Derrick Henry, you know, DeAndre Hopkins has 2 years left on his deal for 2024. But Tannehill and Henry are both in their walk year, and we saw that they've already moved Kevin Byard. So I kind of wonder if they might be a team that's offloading, you know, by the time Monday and Tuesday comes around.
The Chargers have lost back-to-back games to Dallas and Kansas City. And if any team does that, you go, okay, it's Dallas and Kansas City. But in the case of the Chargers, there's a feeling like there should have been more here, and there's not. There's 2-4. Is it the injured finger? Is it coaching? What is plaguing the Chargers? Why don't they feel right?
Do they ever feel right?
No, I mean, it's always, not really.
I mean, every time I watch a Chargers game, I mean, the decisions Brandon Staley makes, I find are baffling. And I know they're analytically driven, but it just doesn't feel like that they're ever made with having a feel for the game. I actually thought it was better against Kansas City. I mean, they end up losing by 2 touchdowns, but I thought he made more sensible and conservative decisions than he usually does. My bigger issue too is that this team can't play defense. And Brandon Staley is supposed to be a defensive coach, and I think they're giving up the second, and they might even be giving up the most yards, you know, through the air in the league this season. And I don't how is that possible when you got Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack rushing the passer? So it just always feels like that the sum or the parts equal less than the sum of the whole. You know, whatever the saying is, it feels like they ought to be better than they are. It hurt losing Mike Williams. They've had some injury issues on the offensive line, and it seems like that injury to Justin Herbert's left hand is affecting him more than you would assume since he's a right-handed passer. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, they obviously can't afford to lose to the Bears at Tyson Bateman at home on Sunday night, but I think they've got an opportunity to get back in it. But, you know, you wonder, should they go out and try to make a move for Mike Evans with Mike Williams out or whatever? But it just always seems like the Chargers are going to end up kind of falling short of the expectations we have of them every year based on the talent they have in that locker room.
I got 60 seconds, but I did want to ask you about the Jets. Are you buying the idea that this is a turnaround after 2 wins, that they can make a push towards a wild card? Or is it just, hey, enjoy it, but the reality is unless you don't have Aaron Rodgers, you probably will struggle down the road?
You know, I'm buying that they're wild card caliber. I mean, they were caliber. They were wild card caliber deep into last year. I think they were 7-4, like going in December last year, and that was all with Zach Wilson. And you know, he's better this year. I mean, he's not great, but I think that, you know, they've gotten through that really brutal stretch of schedule, and you're looking at Giants, Chargers, and Raiders the next 3. I mean, the Jets conceivably ought to be 6-3 a couple of weeks from now if they're as good as we think they are. I am a little concerned hearing guys like Carl Lawson and Dalvin Cook, you know, making rumblings that they're ready to get out of there.
And yeah,
you kind of they were in a mode of let's try to hold on. Well, let's see what we can do, number one, but also let's also hold on and see if we get our guy back later in the season. But even if they don't, I mean, I feel like they're good enough to win 9-10 games and get a wild card.
Nate, good stuff, my man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. I hope to catch up with you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Nate Davis, USA Today. Help us on the NFL. I'm with him. I think the Jets are in a very good spot. Those next three games, like you mentioned, are very winnable games, and they would be 6-3. And this weekend, they could have Sauce Gardner back, DJ Reed back. Both have been out with concussions. But yeah, the rumblings of Dalvin Cook, who got there 10 seconds ago, is he's got limited playing time, and now there's a buzz that he wants to be traded already, asking the Jets for a trade. Well, yeah, Miami was probably where he should have gone in the first place. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.